This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Thumbs up. We are live. We are live here on Instagram and on Pet Life Radio. Here for you. Here for your pets. I'm waving. And, okay. Good morning. Good morning. So, hope you all had been having a good week. I had a good week, and I'm looking for another good one. The Rams are playing today. It makes me a little happy. But I don't know if you saw the game last night. That was a great game with Detroit and Washington. God, it was... It was really something. I mean, I think the Commanders were the lowest rated team of all the teams in the playoff. I think six, and they beat the number one. So you never know what's going to happen. So that's great. Anyway, good football, and of course the Kansas City Chiefs won, but they're going to be unstoppable. I don't know. They're really good. Anyway, hope you're all doing well. Here in LA, we are our fires are starting to get under control. They're anticipating some more winds, which is a little frightening because that's what made the spread so bad is the embers were just flying all over the place. The winds were so huge. So that is kind of the concern. So we're hoping that most everybody, my sister had to evacuate. She hopefully will join us this morning. They have a condo or a cabin down at Lake Arrowhead. So they, there she is. Beth, we're just talking about you. Anyway, are you back in town yet or still away? So they got the notice that they can move back in, and that's what's happening. But in some of the areas, like her area, they hadn't put the power back on yet. So it's, yeah, great, we can move back to our house. Nothing's working. It's going to be pitch black, but yeah, we can move in. So anyway, hopefully they're back in town, and hopefully they got the power back on. Very frightening. Yep, she's finally home. This is really good. And my other sister, I watched. She really didn't have to evacuate. Very few people in the area did, just being overly cautious, but they didn't have to. So she's doing well. She's had neck surgery, back surgery, so not that great. But anyway, but otherwise, you know, we're kind of slowly getting back to normalcy. Oh my God, her Lake Arrowhead almost lost power. That's great. So anyway, any issues? I have some things I want to talk about. I always have things I want to talk about, but I also want to just, oh, good. Here we go. Julianne, 13-year-old Chihuahua has a high-grade heart murmur, dental disease, and needs a teeth cleaning. What would you recommend? Thank you. So here's how I feel about this. And I'm pretty conservative usually, but on things like this, sometimes I can be a little bit more aggressive. I just knocked down my 13-and-a-half-year-old Labrador Retriever, which is pretty old for a lab. And for his teeth, we had to do, he broke one tooth. We had to have that one pulled. Then we had to pull another one, sew the gums. He was under for a while, and yet he's great. He's walking around. So there are so many different factors when it comes to decisions to anesthetize an animal. Age is really not one of them. It is to a degree. Not whether to do it or not do it. It's if you're going to do it based on other factors, how are you going to anesthetize? What agents are you going to use? How light are you going to keep them? These all go into play. So the first thing for I would make sure the bloods are good. If all the organs are doing well, red cells, white cells, the liver, the kidneys, all is doing well, then that gives me some degree of comfort that yes, we could be a good candidate. Now the heart. So, you know, if the dog is doing well, if the lungs are clear and we're not having, yes, you can have a murmur, but their dog, you can have a dog murmur that's a 3 that's in worse shape than a dog with a 5. Okay. And the reason for that is there's not just because you have the murmur doesn't always mean you're going to have clinical disease. I mean, there are a lot of women walking around right now with murmurs and they're fine. So it depends to not just what the degree of the murmur is, but also what effect that murmur is having on the heart and the lungs and the rest of the body. So that's very important. If the dog is very stable, bloods are fine, and the teeth are horrendous, yes, I would say we need to clean the teeth. Because if you ignore the teeth, the reason you're ignoring the teeth, why? Is you're worried about danger to the pet. Well, guess what? Not doing the teeth can also be very dangerous to the pet. In fact, the heart and the kidneys are two organs that often suffer from severe heart disease, either endocarditis, that's bacterial infection of the heart valves, or glomerulonephritis, which is an infection of the kidney filtration apparatus in the kidney. So, I mean, sometimes by you're so worried about not doing something because of a problem, and then all of a sudden it's going to become a problem worse because you didn't do it. So I would look at the big picture, the health of the dog, the energy, the appetite, the blood work, and again, I would use probably something like propofol as an induction or even to mask them down. And I would use sevoflurane as my anesthetic agent. That is probably the most mild of all the anesthetics. And I would work really fast. I mean, literally, if you can, you know, get those teeth cleaned and polished in 15 minutes, do it and extract. I mean, whatever you can do. And by the way, if the mouth is already infected, which it probably is, I would start about 3 or 4 days of antibiotics prior to the dentistry, and then another week after the dentistry. So you want to preload the dog with antibiotics, because when you do those teeth and you have gingivitis, you have gum disease, and you already have a bad heart, then that is easily going to seed more bacteria into the heart. So it's very, very important. All right, Bethany had a question about walking dogs. In this, obviously, we're talking about here in LA right now. Again, yes, a walking a dog is fine. But if you were one that goes to a park and plays ball and fetch and frisbee, I don't think I would do that yet. Just to calmly walk and breathe in the terrible air. We know we talked about this last week about masks for a dog. Obviously, you can't put a regular mask on a dog. However, if you get a basket muzzle, which is a large muscle. It's not meant to close the mouth so they can't bite. They can breathe through it. They can eat and drink water through it. So get a basket muzzle and put the mask over that. Then that would be something that might be a little bit more effective than nothing, especially if the dog is going to exert himself at all. But I would just kind of minimize any exertion right now. Right now, all we do is have, we walk our dogs. Nice, pace, slow. I mean, as slow as they can. They're animals once they get out there. But and then I feel much more comfortable that way, but don't overdo it. If you normally take a 20-minute walk, maybe take a 10-minute walk. If you're going to walk for a half hour, maybe go 15, 20 minutes. Just try to cut it back a little bit. All right. Hello, Kevin Hubbard. Hello. Is that recommended a cardio appointment? Oh, yes. Oh, that was a bad assumption on my part. I'm assuming this has already been a diagnosed, treated disease, 100%. Get a cardiogram first. It's called an echocardiogram. You need that before you think of anything. In fact, I'm surprised with a grade 6 murmur, it wasn't done already. So cardiologist, echocardiogram, and then they usually will tell you on their report what if anesthesia is a necessity, they will give you some suggestions. So, 100%, you got to have an echocardiogram. And just, I'm glad you wrote that, because I will tell you that the diagnostics have changed, and what was gospel is no longer. And years ago, and I'm talking 25 years ago, we made our diagnoses and decisions on treatment based on pretty much an X-ray, and an electrocardiogram, ECG, EKG, all right? And that was it. And of course, clinical signs. Now, those are obsolete. I mean, yes, you can take a heart X-ray. You can see how big the heart is. You can see what the lungs look like, but you can't see anything about functionality. And even on an EKG, you can get some idea of functionality based on the electrical impulses going through the heart muscle and the knowledge that it's you know, different. When you look at an EKG, there are different waves, QRST complexes. There are different things that between the distance and the width and the height that, yes, can tell you whether there's an enlargement of one of the cardiac chambers, but it can't tell you how the valves are working. It can't measure blood pressure. And that's what's so unique and what's so important now about having a diagnosis, a real accurate diagnosis of heart disease, is going to be through an echocardiogram, where not only you can see the size of a chamber, you can see how much of that chamber is wall and how much, right, is actual chamber itself. You can have, on the outside, you can have a heart this big, but how big is the chamber? Are the walls so thick and the chamber is still really small. The pumping ability, you can't see the valves at work on an X-ray, on an EKG. So that's become the new standard. So if you have an animal with heart disease, I know it's expensive. It is. And these are usually done by a cardiologist, a veterinary cardiologist, but you really should have an echocardiogram done. All right. Hello, Fluff and Scuffs. How are you? All right, Vince. Okay. And there was another question in there. Let me see if I can find it. Maybe. All right, dog walks. We did that one. Okay. Yeah, good. All right. Good morning. Any tips for calming 16-year-old female with dementia? Naturally. There are things that, are good for the brain. Antioxidants, they say, are very good for the brain. There's a food out there called BD, the brain diet. Makes that unique, are really good antioxidants. There are medications like selegiline, which is supposedly good for sharpening this. I'm taking my supplements out there, and that they say is good for brain health. So I would, and let's put it this way, it's a supplement, it's safe, and there's no downside. So if there's no downside, then I would go for it. So that's something to try. And it doesn't have to be that brand, though. Leap Years is easy. If you go to leapyears.com, you can order it online. It's really good stuff. All right, so more questions. So in the meantime, while we're, love NAD. You know, NAD is great. I'm taking it. I hope it's working. I remember to take it every day, so that's kind of cool. Said about mushrooms and seeing drugs on the clients. What are your thoughts? Well, I am not familiar. It wouldn't surprise me because mushrooms, the only I worry about mushrooms, you can take a look at two mushrooms that look exactly the same to the untrained naked eye. And one is deadly and one is beneficial. I'm not making that decision. So I think that is, if there are, I know mushrooms have wonderful, wonderful possibilities, capabilities, medicinal purposes. I just don't know which are which. So my short answer is I don't know, but certainly it wouldn't surprise me. So if you could do more research into it, find somebody who knows a lot more about mushrooms than I do. One of those guys, even though I went to Berkeley, never did mushrooms. So what can I tell you? So anyway. So, okay. 17-year-old Jack Russell. That's great. A bad week with her back legs, a great deal of trouble getting up, going to her bed tomorrow. So, I mean, look, the good news is he's 17. She's 17. The bad news is she's 17. So, you know, when you get a dog this age, you have to just look at the glass half full. Are there supplements, things you can do? There's a Librela, if there's an arthritis. I recommend it despite all the garbage you hear. It's not real. There's no science. There's plenty of science behind the medication. Plenty of science having to go through FDA. When you hear these claims online, there's no science behind it. These animals have not been followed up. And when they have been, and they have, many of them, Zoetis, the company that makes Librela, goes through every one. They take it so seriously. And they've researched the case of some of these that died. I know one for a fact that what happened is a day or two after this Librela shot and it died, it actually had an intestinal tumor that ruptured. It had nothing to do. Librela doesn't give intestinal tumor that ruptures in one day. So no, it wasn't that at all. But do you think that the same person that made that complaint and knew now that their dog died of an intestinal tumor that ruptured and she bled out, do you think they go back online at the same site and say, oh my God, my bad. This is what happened. I'm so sorry. No, it's like when these newspapers have to, they have to take back. Or so there's something that new news came up and they have to do their sorry or apology little paragraph. Okay. Guess what? It's not on the front page. The first story was on the front page. This one's back of page 35 in a little box. So that's kind of what's going on. I'm not afraid of Librela. Every colleague that I've spoken to, amidst all this nonsense going on, has said the same thing I've said. Not only are they thrilled with it, more importantly, the clients, the pet parents are thrilled because their pets are walking, running, going up and down stairs again. They see such a change. So it's being studied, no doubt about it. But we've been through this with Rimadyl, now Vetprofen, Carprofen. We've been through this with Trifexis and Elanco, and Comfortis way back. I remember I helped them with their damage control. Anytime something new hits the market, we expect to see this. And I watch these commercials on TV about all these new drugs that supposedly are life-saving, fantastic, right? And at the very end, they tell you all the side effects and even death. Good luck with that one. I mean, it happens everywhere. So I would try, so glucosamine, laser treatment, acupuncture. If you haven't tried acupuncture, try acupuncture. There are so many great things that we have at our disposal now that we can try. And some non-steroidals, if it's 17 years old, go check the lab work. If there's anything going on with liver and kidneys, it wouldn't surprise me. I would do Galliprant instead of some of the others are great, but with liver and kidney, they say Galliprant is a little safer on the liver and the kidneys. I would do Librela if you want. I would do gabapentin for pain, also good for pain. I would consider acupuncture, consider laser, cold laser. All of these parameters, these different types of treatments seem to help. And I would be curious to see. But also, just so you know, in a Jack Russell, I wouldn't expect to see dysplasia, but I would expect to see some disc diseases, something called spondylosis, lumbosacral instability, some cervical spondylosis, which is the neck. So there are many, many things that could be causing this problem. Okay. Creed asked about Williams. Hello, hello. I guess we should talk about fires and air cleansing for the dogs. Yes, not walking fires. We as you mentioned it already, that you want to cut down exercise, cut down vigorous exercise. Walks are okay, but cut your walks shorter. Let them only be outside to take advantage, to do their business, take care of business, then come back in. And if you really want to be careful, you can fit a mask over a basket muzzle, not a regular muzzle, a biting muzzle. We're talking a basket muzzle. And that just prevents dogs from picking things up and eating when they're not supposed to. It can also stop biting, but they can still breathe. They can still drink water from it. And you can put a mask over that if you are really concerned. I'm saying, okay, so what are your opinion on leptobacteins? Okay. Well, that brings me to what we're going to talk about after the break. So don't go away. Here on Pet Life Radio, we're going to take a quick short break for our commercial sponsors, and we'll be back. During the break, I will talk to you guys here on Instagram. So, but anyway, all you don't go away because we're going to come back. We are going to talk. That's a subject I want to talk about. I read something about vaccines and we should know about it. So we'll be back after these short words.
You know the expression, cats have 9 lives. Well, what if you can give them one more? The Give Them 10 movement is on a mission to help give cats an extra life. How? With spay and neuter. Spaying or neutering your cat helps them live a longer, healthier life. And it helps control free-roaming cat populations too. Learn more about the benefits of spay and neuter and meet Scooter, the neutered cat, at givethem10.org. That's givethem10.org.
Let's talk pets. Let's talk pets. On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Back car. We're back live here. We're just talking about a dog who likes to eat poop on walks. It's an 8-year-old diabetic Yorkie. Now, yes, it could be because of diabetes. Might there be some nutritional component here? That is, remember, diabetics, they because their sugar from their that they take in from their diet is not being absorbed, then it's because the pancreas is what secretes the insulin, and insulin drives the blood sugar into the blood cells. Otherwise, it just gets urinated out. That's why diabetics have sugar in their urine as well. In fact, that's one of the ways we monitor and even make an initial diagnosis. You do your analysis and you have 3+ sugar in the urine. You're like, whoa, that's a lot. Then you take a blood test and it's 400. Yes, now you have a diabetic. So it could be that the dog is always hungry. And I would check the sugar levels. Maybe you can get better control on the diabetes. That might prevent this from happening a little bit. Otherwise, increase food intake. Maybe you do more increased food, then the dog will be less apt to want to eat poop out there. Then get a little basket muzzle. one of those teeny little things. That way, they even if they want to eat it, they can't ingest anything. That might be helpful. But I would be a little bit more concerned about your control of the diabetes, how much insulin. I don't know how often you're testing the blood sugar or urine stick or whatever it is. So I remember sugar, glucose in the urine, the blood glucose has to be over 250, which is very high. I mean, normal is like 60 to 110. So you want to try to stay 130, 140, 150. That's pretty good control for a diabetic. So if you're getting in the 200s and 300s, you need better control. You need to adjust the insulin dose, maybe change the insulin. If you're not giving it twice a day, maybe giving it twice a day. Talk to your veterinarian about that. But there are many things you can do to adjust if that's the case. I love you that you're all here in LA wiping paws and body effort. That's good because there's a lot of soot. Not a bad idea. And there still is soot. Do you stay at ACE at the office? No one can go tell about this. Do you do sedated shave downs with ACE at the office? I mean, it depends how bad the animal is. It may not be just ACE by itself. It might be TORB and ACE, which acts a little better, but it's not an anesthesia. It just really sedates them. And let's see, is it, again, you didn't say, is it a dog or a cat? I would use Kitty Magic if it's a cat. And we could also use a little Dextromethor for a dog too. These are things that it doesn't completely knock them out. They're not anesthetized, they're sedated. And you see, TORB and ACE does a trick. Okay, so let's talk about this vaccine thing. I read a report that I found not a little disturbing, not unfortunately, not that surprising either, but it was a little disturbing. And I'll read the numbers to you because I wrote it down. So 22% of dog owners and 26% of cat owners hesitate to vaccinate. All right. And nearly all are concerned about multiple vaccines at once. So let's address this for a second, because I am, again, I'm not very aggressive when it comes to vaccines. In fact, I'm very conservative. So for me, it's really about lifestyle. And if a vaccine, or let's say with this, if the risk of a disease is lower than the risk of getting a vaccine, why do it? For example, coronavirus. I don't ever vaccinate for corona. I think it's a waste of money. And truth is, what is corona in a dog? It's a 24-hour stomach flu. Really? You're going to vaccinate? You're in a 24-hour stomach flu, 24 hours of diarrhea? I wouldn't do it. Okay, how about Lyme disease in an area like LA? Do we see Lyme disease? No. Well, what am I going to vaccinate for? Now, let's say you're on the Wilshire Corridor. For those of you who live in LA know what that means. These are the really tall, high-rise buildings along Wilshire. I mean, you know, they're very ritzy, beautiful. Right? Doorman, the whole bit. Okay. Am I going to give a dog that lives there a rattlesnake vaccine? They barely step foot on grass, let alone go hiking up in the canyons where there are rattlesnakes. Why would I give a vaccine for that? So for me, it's all about core vaccines. Leptospirosis. There was a scare here that some rats in some of the parks in Santa Monica were possibly urinating out or defecating. And there was lepto. Dogs were getting more so than normal. They feel it was these wild rats. That was about 3 years ago. And that threat is gone. In fact, I just tested one of my patients who got lepto, and he is totally negative now. So where do they get it? Typically, it is, again, hiking, mountains, canyons, where they're running streams, and you have wild rodents, and you have squirrels, and you have skunks, and you have raccoons, and you have possums. They are defecating and urinating these streams. You're hiking with the dog. The dog is drinking water out of the streams, and they can get lepto. Yes, they can. Would I give a dog who frequents these areas lepto vaccine? Yes, I would. But with my dogs, that I don't take them those places. I would love to, but they're so obnoxious. They'll try to kill every dog they see. They're their own pack, my dogs. So I don't. I take them. We run it on it. We have a local park, but they are. When they're sort of not together as a pack, they're much better behaved. But still, I don't give lepto vaccine from them. Now, if you were to ask me, which vaccine of all the vaccines seems to give the worst type of reaction? Lepto. So, and they claim now that they've made it better and it's not giving them. No. It's a lifestyle thing. So my in LA, what am I worried about? First of all, rabies. Now, rabies, truth is, am I worried about any of your dogs getting rabies if they live in a city like LA and they're in their backyards? No, the answer is no. Ah, but because it's a public health hazard, rabies is a zoonotic disease. It's required by law. So I can't tell somebody to not get a rabies vaccine. Now, I could recommend it, which is what I do. And they basically can say, no, I don't want to do it. Then that's their prerogative. But I have to put in my file that I recommended it and the owner declined it. Now, the others, the ones that I consider core, are, of course, distemper parvo. Why? Because it's everywhere. And every time people get too lax on their parvo vaccine, guess what happens? Parvo cases on the rise. We've seen this for 30 years. More 40, because I've been out of vet school for over 40. And my dog in vet school, one of my Labradors, had parvo as a pup. All right? So that's how long parvo. I think we started in 1978, to be exact. So people, you know, protect. Then they get a little lax. And then it starts to drop. And guess what happens again? Rises up again. So distemper parvo, in my opinion, a must, because they're both deadly. Why? Of course, you want to vaccinate against a disease that is deadly and that also is around your area. Now let's talk about Bordetella. And now we talked about this months ago. I'm adding influenza, the H3N2 and the H3N8, the bivalent influenza, to that mix, because they all are part of the CIRDC, canine infectious respiratory disease complex. Remember, maybe a year ago, we had all this upscale uptick in the upper respiratory infections, influenza. Meanwhile, all the dogs that were tested, none of them had influenza. They could not identify any particular new bug. So they think that there was not a new bug. It was this combination of the influenza, the parainfluenza, the Bordetella, all the mycoplasma, all the respiratory diseases, and that sort of mixed up, and these dogs were getting sick. So I do recommend Bordetella and influenza and distemper parvo. Those are the three that I consider. And then I got to put rabies in there because it's required by law. Whatever your own personal feelings are, right? If you want to decline the option to get the rabies, that's on you. But am I worried about it? Probably not. We haven't had a case of domestic dog getting rabies in LA in who knows how many years. So I'm not that worried. Now, let's talk about cats. Cats, I'm very, very, very strict about that. The FVRCP, which comes with PNE, which is panleukopenia, yes, that you do. Pneumonitis, so it's FVRCP, FVP is panleukopenia, the PNE is pneumonitis. I would get those because it's respiratory, and of course, cat fever, panleukopenia comes with it. That's kind of a feline parvo. What about rabies and leukemia for cats? Oh, now we're talking a different story. Now, indoor or outdoor. For an indoor-only cat, as mine are, what are the chances of any of them getting rabies, i.e. being bitten by a rabid animal, or leukemia? Being prolonged, direct contact, that means eating together, sleeping together, grooming each other with a leukemia-positive cat. Now, even if the cat got out, stuck out of a window and gone for a day, are they going to have prolonged direct contact with a leukemia positive cat? What are the chances? Very low. So I am not a fan. And now let's talk about something else. As I'm treating it, literally, we're going to be doing a probably next week or the week after an amputation, a hind limb amputation on a 5 or 6 year old cat because of feline vaccine-induced sarcoma. You got it. Those vaccines, or each vaccine in the cat, can actually cause a cancer. Wow. So that sheds new light. Do I want to vaccinate a cat that has a very low possibility of getting these two diseases, rabies or leukemia, when we may have to amputate a leg? Why are we giving it in the leg? We used to give them like a dog, anywhere behind the neck, the nape of the neck, the trunk, the lower back. No, not anymore. Because if they get this vaccine virus, this tumor, ultimately need to be put to sleep. There's no way to remove it. No way to remove it. So therein lies the issue. So there, I'm a real stickler. If it's an indoor-only cat, and here in California, rabies is not required for cats. It is in many states. And if you have indoor-only cats, I will tell you, you know what? Let them come after you. Because don't give the vaccine. And if you really, really have to, if you have an outdoor cat, and you do need to, make sure your doctor only gives them in the thighs. I had a case recently it was a phone, and the dog has a mass. Where's the mass? It's right behind the shoulder, and the right between the shoulder blades. Oh my God, don't tell me. Were you there when they actually gave the shot? And she said, yes. I said, you saw, where did they give the shot? And she showed me, pointed right between the shoulder blades. I mean, I'm in shock. I'm in shock that this doctor did not know we do not vaccinate cats anywhere but in the thighs for that reason. And most likely, and how do you tell a client when they're having this condition and you know what it is, and most likely the cats have to be put to sleep? Because when that thing grows, it is invasive. It gets into muscle. It just keeps going and going. There's no way to get it all out without completely maiming the cat. That's how aggressive it is. So I am so annoyed when I hear that there are veterinarians out there still vaccinating cats anywhere, any part of the body other than the thighs, the hind thighs. So anyway, don't not do it. Now, let's talk about multiple vaccines at one day. I kind of agree with you there. But I spoke to an immunologist, and it was very interesting what they told me. The ability of a body to make an immune response on 3, 4, 5, 10, they can do it 1,000 at once. So then what's the problem? Why are these people so worried? He said, because the problem is not the antigen, not the attenuated antigen that we're injecting into the body to stimulate an immune response. It is the other parts of a vaccine. It is the preservatives. It's the adjuvant. That's the stuff that goes into making a vaccine. That's when cats and dogs react to vaccines, that's what they're reacting to. Not the number of antigen. You can give them 10 vaccines in a day. So the problem is it's all the other things. So I kind of limit, and I like to limit it down to 2. All right. I might give I'll give an oral Bordetella, and then I'll give the distemper parvo and maybe the influenza. If I have to give more than that, I will break it up into 2. And it's not, it has nothing to do with the size of the pet. Don't say to yourself, oh, it's a big pet. Now, sometimes you have to. It's a situational. The client's not a really great client. They can't come in again. They need them to get to the boarding facility, whatever it is. Yeah, I will do it, of course, with hesitation. And I warn the owner, there may be a reaction. Now, fortunately, the reaction in a dog, for example, is not of tumor. It's just feeling like crap for a couple of days. So if you have to do that, you can give them a non-steroidal anti-inflammatory with the vaccine, maybe give them a little gabapentin if they feel pain. It's not going to kill them. It'll make them feel rotten, but it's not going to kill them. So if I have to do it, I will, but otherwise I try not to. All right, anyway, opinion on lepto. So there it is. My opinion, this Julianne, I recommend it if the pet is potentially at risk. Otherwise, I do not like giving lepto. My dogs do not get it because they're at low risk. I was on such a run with all this vaccine stuff. I was not. Advised doctors call ahead when traveling out of the state. But after visiting those areas, yes. JB, how you doing? The brand manager, you recommend? For dogs, it's leap years. I'm taking True Niagen, and my wife's taking something else, but also look very, very impressive. So do some homework. You want to get something that's actually made in the U.S. and from a reputable company. During the wildfires, do you have recommendations where to send donations for the babies that help rescue during the summer? I know there are a lot of organizations out there. I would contact some of the animal rescues that are going up there and rescuing. I work with Eloise. I work with Wags and Walks. I work with Bark and Bitches. So there are a lot of good Angel City Pits. There are a lot of them out there. You should just call some of them. And you can find probably a zillion online. Does ValuVet offer walk-in vaccine? Of course. Of course we do. Now, but the thing is, we I should preface, we do it for our clients. So if it's your very first time, then obviously you're going to have to, you know, for someone who's not a client, you have to just, for the very first time, you can see the doc, see me, and then establish a client file within the hospital. Then, yes, if you need vaccines and your animal's current, what's already seen once a year, then you can just come in for vaccines. And it's cheaper that way too, by the way. Okay, amazing bulldogs. All right, so I think, well, I know it's all we have time for because I've already gone over time, but story of my life. Any other questions you may have, you can always reach me. You can reach me anytime at drjeff@petliferadio.com. You can reach me at drjeff@airvet, or just jeff@airvet.com, drjeff@drjeff.com. Oh, God, a lot of websites. Not valuevet at gmail.com. I'll never get those. And always, just you can just send me a direct message right here on Instagram or to my email at drjeff@drjeff or drjeff@library. All right. So anyway, thank you so much for joining me. If you have any questions, it would be great to save them for next week. But if they're really urgent, as I said, get a hold of me during the week. Otherwise, we'll see you next week. Same bat time, same bat channel here on Pet Life Radio, here on Instagram. And thank you so much for sharing your morning with me. See you next week.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.